Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guidance.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this soundtrack.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance.
Okay.
Okay, we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot delta H. Goes based on the data you had for an LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling fine.
Okay, retro, go.
Final,
go.
Guide,
go.
Control,
go.
Telcom,
go.
GNC,
go.
Ecom,
go.
Surgeon,
go.
Capcom,
we're go to continue. PDI.
Coming to you live from the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country in Shingle Springs, California, this is your host, John Almada. Another edition of Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio here on a rainy day here in the northern Sierra Nevada of California. And I see a few of my friends out there. Chat room's filling up pretty quick. We got Dominica Amore. I love that name. Hillbilly Hauntings. Journey Paranormal. Sharon, you're not talking. I know you're there. You're just listening, but you don't want to say anything. Okay, and I'm going to turn that down a little bit. Let's see who. Luna Woman over here in Cameron Park. N.A. Scott. I like that. Nascot. Okay. Paul Edward Montador. I like that too. And he's been coming to some of the shows. Good to see you again, my friend. And I got all the friend requests taken care of here before the show. So a bunch of you should have some email from me. And we're going to have an interesting show tonight. We've got the Northern Alliance of Paranormal Investigators located in southern Wisconsin. And They've worked with clients such as the, I've got a frog in my throat, here we go, they've worked with the Brumder Mansion, Bartonville Asylum, and have had several lighthouses they've investigated for the United States Coast Guard. So I'm going to turn this down now, we'll get into the meat of the show here. And of course, as always, the chat line, call-in number 646-478-0377. And for those of you who want to call in and talk anything paranormal, we've got about 25 minutes before our guests start calling in. We're going to have more than one person in. I think they're going to have, you know what, these notes are not quite right. I'm going to go on whoever I get because I don't have the names of my guests right here in front of me right now. I'll find that in the emails during the show here. So anyway, we're going to have a bunch of those folks from there, and they've got some interesting stuff. Hit the website for them at www.naparanormal.org. That's what I'm going to do, and then take a look at some of the names so I can pull up and know who I'm talking to. But they came to us, wanted to jump on the show, and it was really good to bring them aboard. So I've always wanted to hunt the lighthouse, and I think that's just going to be something that we're going to actually get to here this year. Plenty of them are here on the California coast. We got the 217 area code calling in. I'm not sure who that be, but let's go ahead and take the call. And I'll turn this down a little. Caller, you're on the air. Oop. Darned. There we go. It's almost on the air. Come on. Hello, caller, you're on the air. There we go. Caller? Evidently he's not listening. Oh, mom's just listening on the 217. I see. Okay, we just got a lurker there listening in. It's Anastasia. Okay, got it. And I enjoyed talking with you guys last night until we got so rudely cut off by Blog Talk Radio. They're kind of funny about their time on that. So it was a great conversation, and we should do that again. Okay, so anyway, we're going to just skip past that. Let's see what's there's a bunch of things that's been going on. We've been doing quite a bit with the online EVP actually during the show, and I've got the you know, the ghost, the Shack Hack box that we've got here, and you can see the actual unit I have. If you go out to the Ghostwriter Investigations homepage, there's an article. If you scroll down a bit on the front page, model number 12-587 radio, picked up for $30, super cheap, and all you have to do is bend one pin. After you just use a screwdriver and a simple pair of pliers, and you too can have one of these boxes. And we've gotten some pretty interesting results with it. I think there's something to this. Also, I have made a modification with the Ovilus tonight. We're going to actually be able to patch it straight into the mixer tonight. As promised, we did a little work there. So some of you who were interested in trying that out again with us here before we have our guests on, I will give that a shot, and we'll see how that goes. We're going to... let's go ahead and start right now. I just think that'll be interesting. And let's see who we got here. John Kathy asks, don't do the Ovilus till she gets here. Okay, so I'm going to have to wing it. All right, we'll do that. We'll go ahead and wait till she gets in. We're going to have to do that. Let me see. We're going to have to do that before 25 after the hour. So when she does get here, I'll just keep an eye on the chat room and go from there. Let's go ahead and pull up a little paranormal news. And you're going to hear me type in here. Don't mind that. A lot of stuff going on out there. I just watched the Ghost Adventures crew on that visit to that island in just outside of Venice. And those guys are they're certifiable. I'm a member of their the Ghost Adventures family. I mean, our particular team is. Who knows, one day maybe we'd be able to get to spend some time hunting with them, but, you know, that's just one place I would not hunt. I don't know about you guys, but that was serious. I mean, Paul says, did you check out those answers we got last night on the Confederate soldier? I am going to be, I basically had to go to work today. I have this unfortunate habit of actually having to earn money there, Paul. And so I had to go in and take care of some stuff. I'm author of a pretty big document management system. I'm actually the architect and creator of it. And so I'm in the process of doing a major upgrade. And it's only 750,000 lines of code. So it's proving to be a real bear to upgrade that thing. So I was doing that. But what I will be doing tonight after the show is I've got several round two-its, and those two shows are going to be the first things I hit, in addition to the case that I'm just about to do over in the Stockton area where we've got that five-story building we're going to hit. So we will do that, and I will go ahead and talk about some of that on Sunday. We have another show on Sunday, and I will play some EVPs from those. Yeah, those it's like, you know, I've got this theory. We should actually just be paid millions of dollars when we get out of high school from the beginning. And then, you know, those of us worth, you know, who have learned our lessons, you know, we'll invest it wisely and live the rest of our lives and not have to work. We can do what we want. I don't get it. It's all backwards, the whole thing. So anyway, I apologize. Let's take a look at the news here and see what we got going. Paranormal Cops, that debuted this week. I thought it was going to be a little later in the year. And there seemed to be a review of this here out on ghosttheory.com. And this was a fairly fresh review from the 22nd, which I believe is today. They watched, this person here says, I started off this morning by watching the opening episode of Paranormal Cops, and all I could think of was that it was Ghost Hunters rebranded, same synopsis, same investigation style, same finish. It all starts out with the Chicago paranormal detectives, cops by day, paranormal investigators by night, plumbers by day, plumbers by night. So I'm familiar. Well, they've got to do something at day and night. This guy's being, I think, a little critical, but we'll just go with it. They get the call to a haunted place by a distraught employee, and so they go check it out, and they listen to what the employee has to say about the occurrences in the building, and then they go to work. After shutting down the lights for the night, deja vu anyone. So I don't know what you're expecting there, my friend, in this review, but that's kind of how the business works. Although, you know, like in this current case that we're doing down in Stockton, it's proving to be the case where our client is just absolutely fascinated. They're not worried. They're not scared. They're just wanting to know what they have and are just more than curious and are wanting to know, give us everything we need to be able to investigate. So we're going to be spending right around 15 hours there on the 30th of this month, and we'll see how it goes. And we'll be in there until the 31st and come away with quite a bit of evidence to review, but we've got a big team, and we're going to actually even have a big kitchen right there. So we're going to cook dinner right in a haunted spot and enjoy that. Let's see. We got what's going on in the chat room. I don't see my friend yet, so I'm going to hang off until Kathy gets in. And let's see. Who's talking about what in there? I'm just going to check. Darn day jobs. Can't wait to hear what you get on that, John. Yeah, I can't wait either, because the first time we did that on December 30th, I was just surprised that there was responses that I didn't even, that were really intelligently formed and directed straight to me about relevant things to me, which I was just absolutely shocked, because normally when you get EVP, it's kind of a hit or miss thing. You don't know what, it's sort of, relates to some things you're saying. It's always kind of just strange. And these were more lucid communications, so it definitely is something. Well, Kathy's listening to After Dark Radio. Okay, so she's going to just transition over. I'll tell you what, we'll wait on that for a bit. And if I have to, I'll tell you what, guys, if we have to, I'll do a 30-minute show after this one. We'll go ahead and schedule one right after. And it'll take about 30 minutes we'll break for 30 minutes and then come back. And we'll do a, we'll be doing about 30 minutes of ovulus then. So I think that'd be kind of fun. So we'll go ahead and just schedule that up. I'll take a little break and then come back and we'll schedule up something for you guys, since you're really fascinated with it, and we'll try it all out. And maybe do a little work with the shack box too and see what happens. So that said, and we've got, I'm going to remember that 217 number there, by the way, so I know she's always in listening, unless I get a thing in the chat room. So she's helping Athena on ADR. Oh, I see. She's co-hosting. Cool. And Anastasia, I had a great time talking with you guys. You guys are more fun than a barrel of monkeys. I mean, I'll tell you what, Anastasia, if you want, I'll have you on as a guest on one of my shows here one of these nights, and we can talk, because I think you do some of this work if I'm read some of your profile right, that you do different kinds of spiritual work. So it'd be interesting to see. I think you and your mother do that. So correct me if I'm wrong in the chat room there. So anyway, let's go ahead and continue on here, and I'll just watch for the response there. Looks like they're going to have Paranormal Activity 2, and that's going to be coming out of nowhere. I wonder what they're going to do. Is it going to be kind of a repeat of the same thing? Maybe that guy that did the review for the Paranormal Cops is going to be a little more generous. Who knows? Charity Paranormal Investigations, from our good friends in the UK. And we've had a lot of UK listeners coming in. It's been really interesting to see. This is from Rochdale Online, Rochdale Online. And Charity Paranormal Investigation. The UK Shadow Seekers are pleased to host a charity paranormal investigation for the National Gulf Veterans and Families Association at the Ye Olde Boar's Head, located in Middlehead, Rochdale. Charity organizer Christina Banks at telephone 0752-850-7768. Thought to date back as far as 1587, although there are various dates around the public house that suggest different stages of development. The Ye Olde Boar's Head has had many function at this well-visited coaching inn that have also been said to be the location used for the Roundheads headquarters, and according to legend, it also has a secret tunnel that links the inn with the parish church. It's always good to link the bar up with the church. You know, it's just something I think it's a lot of guys like to go to church and just disappear, and you wonder where they went. Being a working venue, your evening will start off with a paranormal investigation and a dowsing workshop, as well as a buffet. God, that's the best thing ever. Imagine, going there and getting a buffet while you're doing your investigation. All proceeds will go to the National Gulf Veterans and Families Association. Please remember to read our terms and conditions, da-da-da-da-da. So anyway, that's on the 23rd of January here, and it's 9 o'clock p.m. down in Middleton in the United Kingdom. So that looks like going to be a fun thing. We should do more of that kind of thing here. And Anastasia says, yes, we do. So I am keyed on to the right one. Good. So I think that would be great to have you on, you and your mother on for a show and talk over some stuff. So, I'm going to rope you in one of these days. Anyway, it's just talking to people, just talking to friends, and you end up with a whole lot of people there. And let's see, who we got? We got T.OR, Tor. Not Thor, Tor, T.OR. All right, T.OR, good to see you. Which paranormal news site am I using, a Luna Woman asks? I am using a little-known site called Google. And it's amazing how well they've done for just such a small outfit in, you know, in these last few years. I just go out and click the news, and I type paranormal, and whatever comes up, I get. So that's my little secret for getting these stories. Anyway, let's see. What else? We're going to do one more, and I don't see Kathy's going to be in. So, again, we're just going to go skip right through and do our thing for the interview coming up. And we'll take a brief break at right about 8:20, and I'm going to get a couple things done while I have a few minutes. We'll play some music and then take it from there. So I am going to look here. Let's see, what other... Oh, the Saw 6 director is going to direct Paranormal Activity 2. That should be great fun. Can't think of a better guy to scare the daylights out of everybody. Let's see. New trailer for Paranormal. Paranormal Weekend at Fantasy of Flight. Now that's an interesting one. All right, let's take a look at this. This is the Around Osceola? O-S-C-E-O-L-A. Osceola. This is in Florida. Haunted Hangars, Planes with Poltergeists, Paranormal Weekend at Fantasy of Flight. And like something out of a haunted airplane in a Twilight Zone episode, Fantasy of Flight will host a series of after-hour special events that explores the paranormal in the hangars and aircraft at the popular aviation attraction. Night Flight kicks off at a Fantasy of Flight January 30th with additional dates with the paranormal on February 13th and 27th, that is. The four-hour experience should be an interesting night for both believers and non-believers of the paranormal. We've had a number of very interesting paranormal occurrences at Fantasy of Flight since we opened in 1995, Kermit Weeks said, and that's the owner and creator of the attraction. For years, visitors and workers have talked about unexplained occurrences such as unidentifiable noises, temperature changes, and detection of mists and shadows. The stories did not escape the paranormal community, and Florida's Apollo Paranormal Investigations, a nonprofit team out of Apollo near Tampa, want to explore the situation further. API's team of investigators are going to conduct scientific investigations through Fantasy of Flight and a paranormal activity scale between 1 to 10 will be assigned to the vintage aircraft collection. So based on the team's conclusions, Fantasy of Flight will premiere Night Flight, an after-hours program that will offer adventurous visitors 4 full hours to explore the unexplained up close and personal. So if you want to check that out, let me skip down here. It's going to be go to www.fantasyofflight.com/nightflight. So just look for fantasyofflight.com and you'll be able to see that. That looks really interesting. And I've always wanted to hunt like one of those aircraft museums, especially with a lot of the World War II planes and things like that. You know, let's see what's going on in the chat room. Anastasia's got big type, just like Paul. You get to know different people by their font. I think I always like that. Let's see. And Hillbilly says it's going to rain down here in West Virginia. All of my joints are painful and swollen. I know the feeling, my friend. I had the same thing out here when these big storms came through. Just really tore the heck out of this place. So we're basically breaking this drought here, though. That's actually the good part. You know, so things are going to be a lot better, although I can't wait for hay fever season to come in. So I'm going to be probably complaining and sneezing quite a bit. Anyway, we are coming up on 8:19, so I'm going to go ahead and schedule just a brief couple of moments here. We're going to put a song on, and I think let's see what would be good. I don't think I'm going to do any Blade. I don't do any vampire stuff, although we are going to have someone on here talking about a little bit of vampire stuff here in the next several weeks. She's been on before, but she's going to be out there talking vampire-ish type things with us. And let me see if I can find one here. I'm looking for a good song that... I don't know if that would be good. Fifth Element, nope. Future Shock, Ghost Riders in the Sky, played that plenty too many times. Halo, oh my goodness, I've got plenty to choose from. And it's just a... Actually, there's a friend of mine that put together... I did some technical consulting for our technical library where I work, and she gave me this crazy album. She called it Just the Girls, and I don't know. I'm not going to take a risk with this. It was kind of bawdy. Let's see. Mask and Mirror. Little Mustang Muscle Music, because I drive a Mustang, and she gave me that also. She gave me that song or that CD. Oh, let me think here. What a... All right, I'm going to have to give in and go with a sure bet here. I'm looking. I don't know. God, guys, it's really tough to pick right now. I should have these all. Okay, I'm going to go with Bionic Bigfoot. That's a good one. We had that playing earlier on. Here we go, guys. We're going to take a little break. Nope, that ain't it. There we go. We'll be right back. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio.
Thank you.
bionic Bigfoot. Sorry to put you through that, guys. Poor Paul, that was really... I had to pick some bumper music real quick. It was in a hurry, but I'll tell you what, I will take that under advisement not to play that again, except for a Bigfoot show, which it is appropriate for that, guys. So anyway, I think one thing I have learned from this, I'll put together a good playlist and have some good stuff ready. And let me find out what you guys do like. Let's put some votes out there. Do you want rock and roll? Do you want new age music? Do you want scary sounding stuff in the background? Put your votes out there, and then I'll take it from there. Santana. All right. She wants Santana. All right. I'm going to write that down here in the show notes. And it looks like we got our friends from Northern Alliance. So it's dropping in. Scott's here. Scott Hutchin, I think. I hope I'm saying that right. So we're going to be introducing him. And David Janowski also is going to be in. So we're going to have these two gentlemen in. And I'm going to go ahead and check the dial in here. I will go ahead and introduce them. David's been interested in the paranormal for about 20 years. He's been with NAPI for about a year. He's a tinkerer and loves to design and build new tech for the team to test and play with. So we'll hear all about what he does. Scott, let's see. I'm just getting these just came in because we were trading information back and forth. Scott is a heavy equipment operator and father, can be found scouring libraries and historical societies like nobody's business. Researchers are the best people to have on a team because they can find things. So this is good. Interests are more apt to be debunking urban legends through extensive research. Favorite haunted place, the Gate in Libertyville, Illinois. Although not haunted, it has a great urban legend story behind it. So we're going to be going ahead and let me pull... I've got their site ready to look up at some of their cases. Let's go ahead and one of them is here, so we're going to find which one of that is. And waiting for the little circle. Oh, come on. Come up, please. Sometimes on this... there we are. Caller, you're on the air.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, this is Dave.
Hi, Dave. Good to have you aboard.
Now, glad to be here.
Yeah, and I was sorry to hear about I'm trying to remember her name. The gal who came to us from your organization, and she had a death in the family, I think.
Oh, Sherry, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so my condolences there. But I was glad she did respond and got things all set up. So thank you for coming here on short notice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, tell us, here we go. We've got an 847 coming in. I think that's going to be Scott. So let me go ahead and pull him in.
Hello.
Hello, Scott. Are you with us?
I sure am. How are you, John?
Hey, pretty good. Yeah, yeah. We've got a nationwide network of the paranormal put together here on short notice, my friends.
Great, great. Sounds good.
How are you, Dave? Yeah.
Good, Scott. How's it going?
Good.
All right. Let's, we'll start at the beginning. Tell us about, Northern Alliance of Paranormal Investigators and what you guys do and where you're at and some of the history. Jump in.
Well, let's see. The Northern Alliance, Joe and Sherry are two founding members of the ones that basically put the group together about 3 years ago.
Okay.
Most of our members, we come from other groups, other histories, but we've all found ourselves in this group, and we all seem to work well together, and everything just kind of clicks. And so far, everything's been working really well. We're located in southeastern Wisconsin and northern Illinois. That's where our membership base is. We do investigations all over the Midwest. I'm sure we'd be more than willing to travel just about anywhere we could. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah.
We take a very scientific approach to everything that we do. We're definitely, what can I prove? What can I show you? What can you hear? Not so much, this was a feeling I got or this was an idea that I had, something like that. We definitely are all about evidence and all about what we can prove. The cases that we've done since I've been with the group, Definitely a methodical approach to how we set up and how we do everything, and it's they're a great group of people to work with, and so far I've had a really good time with them. So.
Yeah, I know how that goes. I mean, I went through a couple of different groups before I kind of settled on starting my own, and then we ended up with almost the same sort of setup. I mean, we go in debunking, you know, but and all about evidence. But I do use psychics as pointers mostly, just to get me in the right place. But when we do the actual reports, we don't submit that as evidence. We just bring out what we caught. And then take it from there. So this has been going on 3 years, though. It just all coalesced out of different groups that just, you just found your way. You found your way together.
Yeah, for the most part, John. Funny story. I actually had been looking to join a group in the area, and was scouring through websites and taking a look at different groups and trying to get a feel for what was out there. And every Labor Day in the town I live in here, they hold a parade, like a Labor Day parade, or what I think they call it, Jubilee Days. And here comes this float down the street that was a haunted house. And Northern Alliance of Paranormal Investigators on the side of it. I ran out into the middle of the street with the parade going on, and got the information that I needed to look into what they're all about. And the rest is history. I'm not exactly the newest member, but I've probably been with the group for about maybe 6 months now. So fairly new. Been interested in the paranormal for a long time. Had things happen to me when I was a kid that kind of unexplainable. And when that kind of thing pops up, it's you don't really think about it then as being anything like that. With all the media outlets now, the TV and the radio and everything like this, it's everybody's coming out of the so-called paranormal closet, and it's given us an opportunity to do what we're interested in and take advantage of the tools that are out there to help us along, and we dig it. So
you've been doing it 6 months, and had you been doing any investigation on your own before that, or it was just...
Not at all. I had always been geared in on, and I think everybody goes through this, being in high school and maybe a little older, you always hear about urban legends and stories of a ghost in the graveyard, so to say. And that's about the extent of it. Like I said, after seeing, the things that are on TV now and seeing the shows that are out there, I'm thinking, I really like this. I want to see what's out there and see if there's any answers to it, to the questions that people have. So.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what happened to me. I mean, I grew up having the same kind of thing. I mean, I grew up in an environment where this stuff happened a lot, and, our family seemed to, draw this kind of stuff in, so it wasn't hard to find it. But when I was able to finally, just summon up the guts to start my own group and go through all the mistakes and everything that you do, you're going to make mistakes in this business, but finding your way and then all of a sudden realizing you're having the time of your life doing this too. I mean, it sounds like you're having a lot of fun with it.
Oh, absolutely. And Dave would agree with me. We do a lot of joking around, a lot of kidding with each other. We're a close-knit group. We all seem to get along with each other, and that's very important. We're close, and like I said, we throw jokes back and forth at each other and little pot shots here and there, and we have a good time with it. But when it is time to get down to work and do the investigation, it's a different story, and we all work together and try to get everything set up as quick as possible and we work well, and everybody's willing to take instruction. Being the newest member of the team or one of the newest members of the team, I'd never done this before. I've held a audio recorder in my hand and let it play. That's the extent of it. I've been learning the EMF detector, the K2 meter, all these. and Dave being the tech god that he is, and he can elaborate on this a little more, we just recently did an investigation here locally, and he brought in a EMF generator that you plug this thing in and you're waiting for the roof to blow off the building. Nobody would go near it. Like I said, maybe he can go into a little more about it, but very interesting. Very interesting, to say the least. So.
The thing with our group, and it's true with any group with any common goal or any common interest, you find a group of people that, in our case, it's the paranormal. That's the one thing that we all have in common right off the bat. And because of that, it makes friendship that much easier. And let's face it, with the stuff we do, in recent history, it's become a little less taboo. Now when people hear that you do paranormal investigating, they're interested, whereas before they would, oh, okay, you're one of those guys, you know. But because of that, it just makes it a little easier for the group to come together because you do have that common bond. And, of course, then, I know, like Scott and I, right off the bat, we hit it off because we have very similar senses of humor, you know. So things like that definitely help. But like he said, yeah, when it comes down to time to work, we're all work. But we do have our moments. The device he was talking about, it basically, if you're familiar with what a Jacob's ladder is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I had built one, and just to do some testing, because just by the theory of it, it's like, well, this is giving off electromagnetic energy. So, okay, yeah. Built it and set it up and did some testing with the different meters and things like that, and so I brought it on the investigation, and I just wanted to see how it was going to work and how it would fit in, because I really hadn't done any investigating with it. And
yeah.
The first time I fired it up, everybody's like, I'm not going near that thing. Well, come on, this isn't even the craziest thing I brought out of it.
You know, when the lights dim, it's time to get the hell away.
Right. But
and what's funny is the room we were using it in, you can actually feel the charge in the air. It was really something.
It was interesting, but the theory that I'm operating on there is, if we all agree that the entities or spirits or whatever you want to call them manipulate the energy that's in the atmosphere to do what they do, wouldn't flooding the atmosphere with more energy make it easier? And that's the theory that I'm working on under that situation. Now, the one that he's talking about, that situation, we were in a small space. It was a bathroom. And we were doing some EVP work and some K2 work. And, yeah, I mean, you could just feel the static in the air. You could feel the charge. I mean, this definitely was doing what I wanted it to do. But, you know, then you're starting to wait, okay, is something going to, you know, I'm waiting for a lightning bolt to hit or something like that, because I just don't know what's going to happen. But it was kind of neat.
The movie Young Frankenstein comes to mind for some reason.
That's Frankenstein.
Froderick.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is a lot of groups are thinking the same way. I'm the founder of my group, but I do all the tech also. And I was on the same exact path you guys are on, because we're using lightning globes that you can get at Walmart or wherever.
Like,
and,
the plasma balls?
Yeah, the big plasma balls. They're contained, so you're not going to get the hell knocked out of you. It's not going to put out that much. But I've also got an EM pump, and so. You know, we've got two of the lightning globes. We've never tried it, but next week when we go out to this, we're going out to a 5-story building with 50 rooms, and we're going to hit that. It's down in the town of Stockton, California, and we're going to give that a try and just see how it goes. But I'd be curious, I mean, what did happen when you used this the first time? Did it actually do anything? Did it stimulate activity?
Well, that's actually the interesting thing, because the investigation that we were doing, I can't discuss too much about it because we still haven't met with the client for the final time to reveal the information. So I can't really discuss too much of the details. But where we were in this bathroom, and we were doing an EVP session, and we were working with a K2 meter, and we were getting some interesting activity with the K2 meter. When I brought the Jacob's ladder in and set it up, and again, as we're doing the EVP session, kind of explaining what I'm doing and what it's for, the activity seemed to stop. until I shut it off and I unplugged it and actually, you know, disconnected it, and then everything started up again. So it was kind of interesting. I don't know. Did I scare something? I mean, I know most of my teammates were scared by it, so who knows, you know?
Scared the hell out of me.
But, you know, I mean, again, it's – I grew up – my father worked for 40-plus years in television and with electronics, so – I have an electronics background to draw off of, so these kind of things really don't scare me. But to just somebody who really doesn't know much about electronics, yeah, I suppose it can be a little much. But that, like I said, that was kind of interesting because it seemed like the activity that we were getting shut off when we started using it and then started up again when we shut it off. Now, for all I know, we might have been having a nice long conversation with, like, the cables from their computer router. I don't know. You know, but when we go back, actually, that's one of the things that I want to check is that if there are, in fact, cables running through the wall there, just to be sure if anything, you know, if there isn't anything in the wall, it just kind of helps validate what was going on. But that night, things got a little hectic, but I wouldn't say that it spiked any activity. It actually seemed to damper it.
Well, it's funny. You almost wonder if it was actually drawing off and just, you know, soaking up energy and just waiting for the thing to, you know, finally for the whole session to, you know, end, and you actually fed them, if you will.
You know, and that's an interesting possibility to think about because, like Scott said, I mean, you could feel the hair on your neck standing. You could feel the charge in the air. So, you know, who knows? If left in there long enough, there's a great possibility that something could have happened. You know, and someday again, I'll break it out and test it again, and maybe I'll catch something that time. That's the beauty of this. Every time you go out, you never know what's going to happen, so you have to try everything in your bag of tricks. You know.
Yeah, you know, I find myself scouring different, you know, equipment, you know, sites, different things, trying new ideas, and picking up things that just are unlikely. You know, the geophone is a case in point. I mean, a lot of people disagree with what the geophone that TAPS came up with is, but I'm using it for a different purpose. I'm using it to actually detect people and not spirits. So, you know, you're trying to rule out, you know, you just use it in reverse. You're trying to rule out, you know, that there was somebody there, you know.
Sure.
But, I mean, that's a neat, and what you're doing is really neat, and it's kind of, you're pushing the far edge of the power, you know, far edge of the power envelope. It'd be interesting to see because, you know, like with the globes I'm using are going to be somewhere in the middle, you know, and at the low end would be the EM pumps that Digital Dowsing has. So it'd be interesting to see just a bird's eye view, some similar cases, and just take a look at it and say what's working where, you know.
Sure.
And have different groups communicate back and forth. I mean, I'd like to stay in touch with you guys and see how it works.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because, it's just, you know, a lot of people are working on the same lines, and rather than just have cases just kind of go by the wayside, let's try to pool some of our resources. I think that would be a neat experiment.
You know, and it's funny that you say that. I don't mean to interrupt you there, Scott, but
no problem.
The funny thing about that is, for some reason, when it comes to paranormal investigating, groups never want to work together. We all have a common goal, you know, but everybody wants to keep to themselves, and they don't want to share information, and they don't want to share tech, and they don't want to do this. That was a problem that I've had in my own past with other groups. And again, we've all been there, you know, anybody who has been through multiple groups, and new groups pop up every day. You know, some stick around, some go by the wayside, some, you know, they are what they are. Excuse me. But that's one thing that always struck me as funny. We're all trying to achieve the same goal, so why aren't we all working together? You know, but absolutely, I'd love to stay in touch because this is something. Now, the one that I built actually runs the power supply output is 10 kilovolts. So, it's quite a charge that it's putting into the air. And but by the same token, I mean, I've been jolted by it. It's not going to kill you, but it does sting a bit. I mean, sure, it could. It could be fatal if, you know, the right thing happened to the right person. I'm not saying by any means it's fail-safe, but With that kind of power being emitted, it would be interesting over the long run to see what kind of results are achieved.
Yeah, you know, and I totally agree with what you're saying. And we've been talking about this. A good friend of mine, Sharon Coyle from Journey Paranormal, I think she's still out there. Yep, I see her out there. And another gal, a good friend of mine down in Las Vegas, Maury Moots. We've all been talking on those same lines. And, you know, it's funny. It's a lot of the older investigators and, you know, groups made up of mostly the older folks. You know, we middle-aged types in our 40s and 50s are talking this way. And, I just think, you know, we've lived enough life that we're not in this big competition. You know, it's just more the scientific interest of it is, you know, how is this working? What's the model? You know, I'm interested in the physics of this is, you know, what power levels is it taking to get them to come around or to, you know, is this feeding them or is this driving them away? And I just think the more we talk to each other and share information and are just open, I think that's really going to help things. I mean, on my own website, I post, a huge amount of EVPs that we pick up. And we don't even try to say that every one of them is, quote, an EVP. We're willing to look at evidence and say, hey, let's throw that out if somebody disagrees with it. You know, but you know, the deal is, though, I mean, we're very stringent with our evidence. You know, when we get it, we immediately check into the evidence computer, immediately make, have a pristine data area where the original data is kept and never altered, and then we copy off and do our edits and alterations. So we really have a pretty good handle on our data, and that's just, you know, my job as computer scientist in the defense business. I come from that kind of a mindset, but I'll tell you, I really hear what you're saying. I mean, I really think it would behoove everyone out there to work more together and pool information, help each other. You know, it's already tough enough as it is to find investigators and keep them and do these cases, and really come out with good results. But now you've got you guys, you're out there doing serious work, and you've got talent, you've got engineering skills. It's a good thing to do. Sorry,
I feel get along.
And you all get along. That's the best part. And you're having fun.
Oh, yeah. It's like I said before. You know, we're a close knit group. We have a lot of fun. Things come up, and you know, if some of us are experiencing personal things in our lives, we're the first ones to jump to and say, "Well, what can I do to help?" You know, it's not just a meeting or a chat every week, and we'll see you in the next investigation. We're pretty much involved with each other's lives. I've been over to Sherry and Joe's house both with my kids, and been around their kids, and like I said, we're just one big happy family.
Well, what sorts of cases just stand out in either of your minds as being the most memorable and the most enjoyable to you?
Well, we actually went to a friend's house, and a couple of us, actually it was Joel's house, and he's got 40 acres, I think, real close to it, and there's an old, what looks to be a schoolhouse on the property, and we just decided to gather up an audio recorder and one video camera, and me, Sherry, and Joe had one over there, and this was actually my breaking of my cherry. It's the first investigation that I was on, and you see something like that out in the middle of no place, and you wonder, okay, what can really happen? And we spent, I got to say, probably a good 45 minutes to an hour in there, just walking around, taking a look at everything. Like I said, doing an investigation. We did some EVP work and walked back to the house. It was within walking distance, a couple hundred feet down the road, and I actually handed the audio recorder to one of the kids and said, here, listen to this, see what you hear. Probably 5 to 6 minutes into it, one of the kids that was listening to it had said, boy, that was loud. Well, it was only the three of us, and we weren't loud about anything, so I listened to it and actually caught a voice saying what we believed. It said, sit down. Just to set it up a little bit, we headed down the stairs into the basement of this place, and it looked to be an old one-room schoolhouse. It hadn't been used in years, just completely fallen apart.
Yeah.
We were trying to find a good place to go down the stairs, and of course, you know, we're almost falling through the stairs. And as we're going down the stairs, there's the three of us. There's somebody in front of Joe. Joe was in the middle, and I was up at the top of the stairs with the audio recorder. And during that point is where we caught this EVP. And once I got to the last one down the stairs, once I got to the bottom of the stairs, there was an old school chair sitting down there, like the old wooden and metal with the wooden slats on the back of it. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. And I actually commented, and you heard me comment about it on the audio recording, hey, there's an old school chair there, which just kind of a little ironic that, you know, here we're walking down these stairs, we hear this voice say, sit down, and get to the bottom of the stairs, and there's a chair sitting there. You know, does it mean anything? Who knows? But it was very interesting, to say the least. That to me, really, because I actually was holding on to the audio recorder, and we didn't hear that at the time, and when we, you know, replayed it, it freaked me out a little bit more each time I heard it. But, you know, and we always joke, you know, everybody just sees something or whatever, and you run away. Oh, it's scary. Let's run away. You know, we always joke, well, we'd be the first ones to run toward it and find out what the hell's going on. So that in itself was an experience that I could say that I'll probably still stick with me for quite some time. And until something tops that, I would have to say that that's about it.
For me, I would have to say, now, again, now I've been interested in some way, shape, or form for the last 20-plus years. A lot of that early time was reading right out of high school. I'm 38 now, so when I was just out of high school, I started playing around with just the old handheld tape players to do EVP work and things like that, and didn't get anything really, or you'd always get something that, you know, oh, if you listen to it hard enough, it sounds like it's saying this, but, you know, it's wishful thinking. But to me, the one that still stands out in my mind was, we were doing an investigation at the Rhodey Opera House in Kenosha, and it was getting towards the end of the night. I was sitting in one of the theaters, and some of the other members of the team were doing some EVP work on the stage, and people were saying they were seeing shadows, like they were almost moving up and down the aisles in the theater. So I had sat down in one of the chairs just off the aisle, and while sitting there, after about 10 minutes and just getting used to the situation around me, I felt something poke me in the arm. And I turned my flashlight on, and, well, there's nothing there. And I'm thinking it's a bug or something like that. And so I turned the light off, and about 30 seconds later, I got poked again about a foot further up my arm. So I turned the light on again, and there's nothing around me. Now, the kind of person I was when I was younger, logical thinking tells me I would have freaked out and ran out of the building. But now this is the first time I'd ever had anything like that happen to me, but I was like, that was cool. Can you do it again? You know, come on, I guess you just tagged me, so I'm it. So I have to find you now, you know. And I surprised myself at my reaction to it, and at the same time it was like, what was that? You know, because obviously there was nothing or no one near me. And it was just fascinating. And so to me, again, like Scott says, until something bigger and better comes along, that's the one that's going to stand out in my head more, because it was the first real contact, if you want to call that, or the first real situation that happened to me where, and I reacted better than I thought I would.
Oh, I know the feeling. I mean, I've actually had an ashtray pick up, levitate, and be thrown at me. I've been pushed. several weeks ago, I was actually scratched. I had four long scratches on my arm. I was investigating a private residence, and I was offered the chance to stay overnight, and slept in there.
Too
and
bad I
can't up.
Stay. Look at the time, right?
Yeah, well, all I know is it did not. It was just absolutely a shock when I got in the shower and went to, because I didn't feel it until I got in the shower and the water got on. I looked and I had four long scratches on my left shoulder.
Mm.
It was just a really, really strange feeling to have that happen.
Bad.
But
I am.
Yeah. But I know what you're saying. I mean, those first things that happen to you when you're first out in the field doing the work, and these things start to happen to you. I would bet that you guys are going to have a lot more of that. But it seems to me the more investigators go out and do their work, the more that this kind of the stuff will happen, and the more sensitive you seem to get to it. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how many cases you guys do a month, but I think you're going to be surprised.
It's funny you say that, John, because my first week or two, I was kind of very skeptical, always have been. Always heard stories that my grandmother would tell me. I'd be like, yeah, right, Grandma, okay, whatever. After that experience in that old schoolhouse, and what's funny is I believe Sherry and Joe were trying to see how long it was going to take before I said something about being in my house now. And they say, you know what, we've got a lot of that. There's a lot of new people come in and say, you know what, I think there's something in my house. Did I bring something home with me? And what, in all actuality, depending on what you believe, a lot of times it's your senses are so in tune when you're sitting in the dark and you're listening, and your eyes are focusing and you're looking different ways and hearing different things. You become so in tune with your surroundings at that time, you take that home with you. And, I'm running heavy equipment for 15 years. I can barely hear, I got a surround sound on my TV that I get yelled at all the time because it's too loud. I can barely hear my TV. Now, during or after an investigation, when you come home and you're, unwinding and that, I can hear the furnace kick on downstairs. I can hear water from the, the sump pump or whatever. These are things that I don't think I've heard before. But you know what? It's you're so tuned in after doing this and sitting quietly in the dark or something. It's unbelievable. It's almost like having a new ear.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you actually get really keyed up. We like to go through a wind down period towards the end of our investigation to just kind of watch and finally bring it down.
Mm.
Well, you can kind of tell everybody you're starting to get a little tired and all that. And then we just try to, we just try to really just ease everybody out of it. But, no matter what you do, you're still going to be, even on the way home. I mean, we just did this pre-investigation of our Stockton case, and, we were out there till two something in the morning, and I stopped and bought, an early breakfast for the team. And it was just same thing. I mean, I heard every noise. I finally got to bed about 4, and it was just really tough. And these cases, they do wear on you. We do 2 cases a month pretty religiously, and we found that that's about the limit. Trying to get everybody together, it's like herding cats as it is, But it does something to you. I mean, it also seems to develop you. I've just noticed that, all our investigators are saying the same things. I've got pretty much 4 regulars that work with me, and we're all feeling that. And it just seems like it, I would bet the more you do it, the more you're going to be noticing and the more you're going to comment on these things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
What sort of EVP, have you guys got quite a few different EVPs that you've gotten out of these cases? And what are your most memorable ones,
Like I said, the one that sticks out with me the most is the one that I already described. We did get a couple of interesting things at the investigation we just got doing, but there again, trying not to divulge too much. Very interesting,
yeah.
At least.
Yeah, that one in particular, I wish I could give you more details on, because some of the EVPs that we caught were, to some, a little disturbing, to some, just interesting.
Yep.
And without getting into too much detail, let's just say that it was two different sessions in the same room, two different times during the night, and the same voice was caught saying different things.
Yep.
And it was a very specific, very... to hear the voice both times, there was no question that this was the same voice.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was interesting. It was more what it sounded like was being said that was the disturbing part.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that one, those, again, I wish I didn't have to speak in such vagueness about this because really it was, that one was pretty fascinating. To me, the one that was so cool about that was the fact that it clearly was the same voice, but it was from two different times of the night in the same room. Two different teams were in there, different recorders. It was just really, really interesting.
That's absolutely great, because when you have different equipment picking up the same voice like that, I mean, that's just corroboration, you know, squared. I mean, that's the best stuff. But I'll tell you, we actually don't close the books on our cases. We go back and look at the different places we've been, and we'll actually go back and reschedule visits to some of these places, because we tend to hunt outdoors, and it sounds like you're doing some of that same type of thing. We'll pick outdoor and historical sites, things like that. It's easy to get in. You don't need permission forms, that kind of stuff. But we've kind of developed relationships with some of these entities that are there, and we get the same voices. It's really neat to go across, you know, 6 months down the road from one investigation to another, and you're hearing the same person talking, and you just go, wow, that is really cool, you know.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
But are you now? What else do you do? I mean, you've got so far. You were talking about a little bit of video too. So you've been doing infrared video and things like that.
We have our DVR set up with four of the Zerolux IR cameras that we use. We also use the handheld mini DVs. We also have a high definition camera, and what else do we have? Several different models and types of, like, the mini DV and the DVD. Cameras, the night shot, you know, that probably gives away who's it from. I'm not on their payroll, so I'm not going to say.
You can say the name, no problem.
the Sony night shot, the handy cams, are a great tool, and I don't know whoever talked them into making the Zerolux feature, but it's been a great thing for the paranormal investigation, because you can find them and they're not that expensive. But apart from the DVR setup and the handheld cameras, and most of the time we use those just for locations where it's easier to put a tripod and a camera than it is to try to run cables to. Video isn't something we've had a lot of, I don't want to say luck, because I don't believe it is luck, but we haven't had many results with the video. For whatever reason, at least since I've been with the group, EVPs seem to be what we've had a lot of. We've had some interesting pictures also, just still pictures, but not so much with the video. And now, to me, that's one of the things that I would love to just have the proverbial money tree to be able to experiment more with the different. I would love to have a full spectrum camera. I'd love to have the full spectrum video, things like that, because I do, the more I look into it, I'm a big believer that the ultraviolet spectrum may be where we need to look, because it seems that while things do show up in the infrared spectrum, I've seen enough things with the full spectrum cameras that the ultraviolet spectrum may be at least nothing else a place to look, because it seems like they're finding things, and it's another one of those things. If we can put this footage with the EMF detectors and determine that there was in fact some kind of energy there, it's all about. And again, in my mind, it's all about what can I prove. And what can I show you, and what can I, It's I've always been of a very scientific mind, and so along those lines, that's the way I always look at it is, okay, we got this on camera, well, can we prove it was there, you know? So,
you know, it's funny because I'm in the same boat. I mean, video for us has not been a big producer, but you know, I'm learning to you know, cut the amount of evidence down that we're getting. You know, take it in. I really only want to get enough that I'm willing to analyze, you know. But the one thing I'm going to try on this new investigation we're going to be doing is I have a four-channel DVR myself, and we've got three of the Zerolux cameras that we're going to use. And I'm going to use the mode where it'll buffer a little bit of the video, and if anything moves, it'll start the recording up. So we're going to have, you know, we've already been kind of moving up to this slowly, getting everybody trained up on our, you know, four-channel DVR and how to work with that. But I'm going to try that mode out. It's just another technique to try. But if it does, you know, I think it'll pan out because if something does move, you know, the buffer is going to release. It'll start recording. And we may catch something and have a lot less evidence to go through because most of the time you're recording, there's nothing happening, you know. But I totally agree with you. I mean, the EVP has been the absolute powerhouse for us. It's just, and it's, you know, the recorders are inexpensive. You can pass them out to the team and you get an awful lot with them. And there's just so many ways to do it, you know, short burst recording. You know, some people we have record the whole time they're there. And, you know, and it just comes back. We always get something, you know, for our effort. So it's very rarely we're skunked on these things. But the video, I totally agree with you. The one thing I will say is I did see a fairly inexpensive full-spectrum camera. It's actually not quite full-spectrum. It has the IR band, and it also has ultraviolet, and it doesn't have the visible light spectrum. And this thing's like $180, so I'm going to pick that up here in the next month or two.
That's interesting. That would be something that would be fun to play with. See, now that's another thing I like to do is finding existing technology or newer technology and see how can I spin this to work for what we do. How can I fit this into what we do? And that's a camera like that would be. I'm maybe not even ideal, but it would be perfect along those lines to try to fit into our kit, so to speak.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, this I was looking. I actually saw the down at Wolf Manor. The Ghost Adventures crew went down there, and they had been, you know, really showing what could be done with the technology with the full spectrum video. And so I went out, just started looking, and sure enough, I found this company that's doing modifications to these pocket video recorders, and they put a different CCD in and have it integrated, and I think they have like 32 gig of SD RAM on board, and it'll go up to 10 hours of video. I mean, what more do you need? A small tripod, that thing, and set it up and go.
I found a similar mod to do with just still digital cameras like that. So... But that's, you know, again, even though I do have some electronics background and things like that, messing around with an old digital camera is still a little bit, I'm not so sure I want to try it yet. But, you know, I would love to be able to just, okay, here's one of these. Oh, I'm going to get that and see how that works. And I'm going to get this and see how this works, you know. But obviously it doesn't all fit into what we do and how we use it. So, you know, you have to kind of, you know, weigh the good against the bad and decide what's the next piece that's really going to work for us or possibly work for us.
Well, that said, it looks like we've got a question out here. I'm going to go ahead and bring a caller in, and this is our 217 area code. Anastasia's mother is going to ask a question. So we're going to go ahead and bring her on, and here we go. Okay, you're on the air.
John, I have two questions, and the
okay.
First one is, the ultraviolet rays, using that, isn't that more or less saying walking through the veil? In other words, it sort of transports you to the other side as to what you are seeing?
Oh, boy. You know, it's funny. I would tend to think that if the way that we always talk in terms of all this stuff is that these creatures, and I regard ghosts as of life form. I've said this a couple of times in the past. I think that they are alive, and they're alive in their own way. They may not be biological, but they are certainly an organized entity with a cohesive pattern about them, and they're electrical in nature. They're going to give off some kind of radiation, and they're going to do that at levels that we, with our human eyes, can't see. So I'm not sure about calling it the veil, but it would be fairly close. I think we're talking about the same mechanism. And since they're vibrating at a fairly high rate, I would tend to think that they're giving off, actually the word would be bleeding off energy in various spectrums, and maybe one will pick them up a little better than another. I think that's the closest. What do you guys think?
Personally, the way you explained it there, actually, it makes sense. It makes sense to me. I honestly don't have an answer to that because, like so many others, I'm looking for those answers. And the day may never come that I have those answers, but that's where my drive is. I want to be able to find those answers. My belief is that these beings, entities, again, and I always do that. I always say spirits, entities, beings, whatever you call them, because everybody does call them something different. But these beings are giving off, radiating, bleeding off energy, and it's a matter of finding out exactly what spectrum or what that energy is so that we can detect it, view it, record it, document it.
If that's the case, that they are giving off energy, say like pranic healing or Reiki, other modes that whereby you can pick up energy and see it or see the aura of people and even like walk through it, why in the end would you need a camera, violet rays, to do this? Couldn't you mentally develop the ability to create your own violet rays or veil, as I said, that you just walk through that? I mean, you are looking as though through it, but in a way walking, in a sense, walking through it and seeing what you are looking for or want to find.
Human beings are we're a tool-making animal. That's what we do. And I know what you're saying. I know exactly where you're going with it, because we have that capacity. And I know people who can see auras and are able to do some really amazing things, and we use them on the team. But taking the word of someone who can see that, and I know they're seeing it, versus augmenting that with actual evidence that we can point to in black and white or color, as the case may be, and be able to show this is proof that what this person said at the time that they were seeing this, now we have a camera that took a picture of that and is sensitive to that kind of radiation. And these two, a mechanical device and a human being are seeing the same things. That's actually the very best combination you can have, in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My second question was pertains to, you talk about spirits and entities. Can there be spirits or entities in a home that are dangerous to you or could keep you ill?
I think that's a possibility. I mean, again, do I have that answer? No, but I can give you my own opinion on that sort of thing. My opinion, again, energy, if we believe, if we accept that this is energy, radiant energy affects everyone differently. And again, I look at everything in a scientific light, so that's kind of why I'm explaining it this way. The idea that high levels of EMF can make people feel nauseous or lightheaded, it's not a stretch to think that if there are energies that are negatively affecting someone, that it could make them feel sick or make them feel fatigued or something along those lines. Is it possible? Sure. There obviously is no way that we can say for sure that, yes, that does happen. But again, that's one of the reasons why we do what we do. We're trying to be able to bring those answers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just recently, we just did this case in Stockton is a very good example of this. Ended up on the fifth floor in basically an attic area. We all walked in and the atmosphere in there was like molasses and you just felt like the energy drained out of you. And we were all very aware there was something in there that did not want us there. And I came out with a horrible headache. The person who took us in there is still trying to explain away the incident, but basically what ended up happening was he was shoved violently in there. And these things can and can do this. You know, this is my contention. You know, I'm not going to be able to back that up with proof, but I've been doing this a while, and you know, I've seen things happen. I've seen too much happen that these entities can do and can possess enough energy to cause harm. And you have to know what you're doing when you go in there, and you have to be aware of the possibilities when you go into these situations. So very much so. I've seen it for myself, and you know, other paranormal investigators who've been out there a while, Sharon, I think, has seen some things that just, you know, curl your socks off. You know, it does happen, and it's just when we walk in, we don't know what we're walking into, you know, case to case. We protect ourselves the best we can, and I have absolutely, if something really bad was starting to go down, I'd pull my whole team out. There's no doubt that we would back off and reconsider what we're into. So there's my answer on that.
John, do you feel that at times you bring these entities home with you?
It's happened. I have certain techniques that I use to get rid of those problems, and that has happened. I had one case last year where I woke up, I've mentioned this before, being grabbed by the feet 3 o'clock in the morning, and that was not fun, and I was madder than hell when I got up and realized what was happening, and I was not dreaming because I sat up and I was still watching my feet being grabbed. That's not the rule. It doesn't happen every case. And basically it was my fault because I sort of opened the door to that. I didn't really protect myself before I went in. So there's definitely protocols to follow to try to be safe when you go out there. And sometimes you forget and, well, somebody comes home with you.
When you had the ashtray thrown at you, did you feel that person meant you harm?
I know it was. It's funny. It was my uncle had just passed away in December of 2008. What ended up happening was when he passed, let's just say that he had a few mannerisms I didn't agree with. And I said as much, and he'd been dead over a week. And when I said that, three of us in the room, my father and my mother and I, was standing in the hallway, and I was talking to my mother, and the ashtray lifted off the table that was right next to her, lifted up in the air and forcibly came down and hit me in the foot with it was thrown extremely hard and bounced off my foot, and it hit my tennis shoe hard enough to actually, you know, cause my toe to sting. So, yes, they can't do that, and I'm very sure it was my uncle. And, you know, he didn't agree with what I said, and he made his point, you know. And I actually said, hey, sorry about that, but I still feel the way. I didn't back off. I'm not going to back off from him. But I was fascinated that he could do that.
I had an empty fishbowl sitting on top of a cabinet that came through the air very fast enough to make a noise and headed right at my head. And I ducked, and it hit a wooden stand and hit with such force. I mean, it made a loud bang, but it didn't break.
Wow. It sounds like, you know, a lot of those type of things, it's funny because the knocks and bangs and things that we get on investigations, I think, are really more to get our attention than anything else. And if sounds like whoever was doing that was either got lucky that they didn't break it, or they really didn't want to do anything other than get your attention. And I mean, is that your experience, guys? I mean, do you see the same sorts of things or have heard of that in your own cases?
Well, I don't know. You know what? I would have to say when we hear knocks and bangs, it's a case where they can be explained. You know, everybody's looking for that holy grail. Everybody's looking for the big answer. You know, what's going on? Is there actually something that exists beyond life? And you know what? Like I said, when it comes to knocks and bangs, it could be a heater pipe kicking, you know, the heat register kicking on. And if you're in an old building with hot water heat, you know how those
yeah.
things are. You know, it knocks and bangs, you know, we can listen to audio recordings over and over and over again, listening for EVPs. Hear a knock or a bang or something, easily explained away. So, you know what, when it comes to that kind of thing, it's like, well, do we take into consideration what it might be, or do we take into consideration of what it might not be? And that,
exactly.
I think that's
yeah,
our...
I don't think a fishbowl is a knock or a bang, though.
I
yeah.
agree with that, and you know what, I've got a similar story myself. You know, my grandparents witnessed a table that lifted straight off the ground and sat right back down again. And, you know, to hear them tell that story, you know, my great-grandmother passed away. And before she passed away, sometime before that, she had come up for a visit. And my grandparents have a patio off their garage. It's screened in. It overlooks Lake Michigan. Very, very beautiful, you know. And she always said that this is where she wanted to come when she died. This is where she wanted to be. And when she did die, they came back from the funeral, the wake and everything, and they actually came into the patio to talk about her and, you know, get things out in the air and stuff like that and, you know, express their feelings about her and whatnot. And that's when this happened. And the only words that came out of my grandfather's mouth were, "Hello, Mother." You know, my grandparents are the type where you got to believe them. You know, they're not gonna make something like this up. The funny part of it. You know, I'm looking at my grandpa like, "You're crazy," but there again, you got to believe them.
I have an old family story. There's a town, an old logging town, up in the Sierra Nevadas, past the town of Paradise, called Sterling City, and an old family story was of a woman that lived up there called Grandma Bader, and she had a husband who was a logger, and every night he would come home, and she could actually see him coming up the road with his, he had mules that were dragging up the logs from where they were being cut all the way into town, and one day he didn't come home, but every, you know, she would wait at 4 o'clock every day up for this guy, and after he died, you know, it was tragic. He had an accident on the way home and was killed. She would go out there and sit for the rest of her life at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. She'd be out there rocking and just looking out. And it was just it was tragic. I mean, what happened, but she, you know, that went on for many years, and finally she ultimately did pass away. Well, you know, our family knew them very well and was in and out of the house all the time. And, my mother actually witnessed this, and it was basically the rocking chair at 4 o'clock would start rocking by itself every day. And it didn't matter where you put this thing, this chair would move on its own, and it just was amazing. And the whole town knew about it, and everybody knew who it was, and they accepted it. It was without question who that was. And finally, a couple that did buy the home with the furniture in it was so unnerved by it, they actually had the home exorcised. And she put up quite a struggle. She didn't want to go, but she got in a pretty good fight with this priest. So I hear what you're saying. I mean, I agree. I mean, this stuff does happen, you know. But I also agree with the scientific viewpoint where the knocks and bangs and things like that, we can't, you have to really look at evidence objectively and say, if it can't pass, you know, the simplest explanation, which would be, you know, pipes and things like that, then we got to throw it out. But on the other hand, there's going to be those cases where you have, the personal testimony, and then you start looking at it, and you can really design, a case to be able to look at that aspect and see, you know, what can we do to bring that out. And so that's why I like doing investigations over and over again, you know, going back to the same places, because we can really get to know the case and really get to know the place and see it under different conditions. So anyway, hey, we're up. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, when it does come to the knocks and bangs, if you're in a building that actually has no electricity, no pipes, no heat, no nothing that would make a bang like that, then that's when you take that into consideration. You know, if there's no other explanation, then you look at it that way. You know what I mean? It's
exactly right. Yeah, it's
like,
when in doubt,
throw it out.
That's exactly it, and we are more than willing to actually look at our evidence, and if it's questioned, we'll just say, okay, let's throw that out. I've got plenty more where that came from, and I can go back again and again. And you know, so we get relationships with those cases. But hey, we're coming up 3 minutes left in the show. I'm going to go ahead and begin winding it down, but love to have you guys on again. I mean, hear about some of your cases here that are upcoming this year. You guys ever want to come back again and sit down and go through the treatment?
Well, I don't know, Scott. What do you think?
Oh, I think we should give it a shot. What do you think, Dave?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Okay,
yeah, absolutely. No, this was a lot of fun. I'll definitely do this again.
Okay, we'll sign you up for another round here in about 4 or 5 months and see what's going on with you guys.
Oh, sounds good. We can bring you up to speed on – we can actually talk about the things we couldn't talk about tonight.
Okay, we'll do that. And I'll tell you what, I'll send you the link to that camera with the price on it. I think it was like $180, $190. And
okay, that'd be
great. I think you'd be surprised. I've got your emails. I'll send you that.
All right.
But anyway, we want to thank you. And is there anything coming up for you guys? Any announcements, any investigations coming up that you want to get out there or talk about your website real quickly?
Well, our website is naparanormal.org. We got quite a bit of evidence that that people can look at if they like to. We always open to suggestion or comments. We do have an investigation come up. I don't want to disclose where it's at or anything, but from what I've been able to gather through some research, it had a lot to do with supposedly Al Capone, one of his hangouts. So it should be interesting. We're looking forward to it.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that on the next time out, and we're coming up a minute and a half left in the show. Going to do the big thank you for you guys, and we'll be in touch soon. So thank you both for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Welcome. And let's see, we got the chat room has been a buzzing, and boy, you guys are really talking in there. I mean, this is a big, it's moving, and I see Sharon. Sharon was asking me about... basically about if we're on Facebook, and I think I've got my own page, but I do announce there, but I don't have, quote, a GRI page. I should do that. Okay, so I will, matter of fact, I'll give you a call later after the show. By the way, we're going to do a quick show at 10 o'clock. I'm going to go ahead and do a show with the Ovulus. So we're going to be back at 10 o'clock. I'll get off, take a brief break, and go from there. So we got 30 seconds left. I'm going to read this really fast. In the chat room, Anastasia, Kathy's Distant Echoes, Cryptic Animal, Dionysus 614, Disgruntled Dan, good to see you, my friend, Dominica D'Amore, I love that name again, 5 feet, Hillbilly Hondings, hey, buddy, Journey Paranormal, Sharon, love you, dear, got to call you, we got to talk, dear, Luna Woman, hey, out there in Cameron Park, Tracy, N.A. Paranormal, Dave, N.A. Scott, Pamela M. Joy, it's joyful to see you, Pamela, Paul Edward Montador, and T.O.R., so we got them all in. That was a fast talk. So with that, we are going to go ahead and begin the wind down. And this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, and I'm going to find a little bit better song to play that'll make you guys a little more. Let's see. Let's try some Ghost Riders. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio signing off.